You have to be excited with that. I mean, like, come on, 298 listens.
I'm not excited.
I am excited.
Yeah, because we're
not excited because
500 listens.
We bumped up almost 100 fucking listens
in less than a week. I know. I am completely and utterly amazed and just wowed by everyone.
Let's take a sip from here.
Yelly's not happy.
Yeah, because you said the moment we get to 500 listens, we will do a live one. And we'll show our beautiful faces.
Well, I knew we were going to hit it that fast. I should have been like, 1,000!
I thought you were going to say like a huge fucking number.
I wanted it to be reasonable.
Reasonable? You mean like our drunk episode we plan on doing on our 50th? 50th?
That's reasonable.
Long Island iced teas for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On the show, Claire. Need the specifics, yo.
One body bag or two?
I wonder why we don't have any Canadian followers yet.
Where is it? Where's Canada at? Where the fuck is Canada? So here I am. Watch. I'm going to list it off, okay? Because we're close to...
I mean, for all you know, it could be a bot in that area.
I don't fucking care. It gives us listens. So, I want to make something known. Our last video that we posted, which was...
Not a video.
Our last audio that we posted...
Our last podcast.
Our last episode. Is that better?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our last episode that we posted... Lily.
Crazy.
We got a huge following. I don't know what happened. I'm not gonna question it. However this happened, I'm still eating mine. It's amazing. It was really, really good. The
it's
outcome.
Like chocolate caramel.
The outcome was amazing. So we have actually followers in a lot of places. Because at first we just had followers in the United States. We had it in Denmark and New Zealand. But now we have followers in the United Kingdom, Germany, Russia, Belize, Italy, Kazakhstan.
People are out there listening to
listening.
Us.
Right? They're actually listening to us.
Listening.
Oh, we even have a listener in Taiwan.
I feel like dancing. Dancing.
But where's our Canadian people?
They can take their time.
Hey, run on Canadian time. Hey.
Canada. Canada kind of run on Hawaii.
What
time.
Was the
it's
one
okay.
that you're like, I feel derp not knowing where this one was from?
Kazakhstan.
Thank you Kazakhstan. For throwing me under the bus. I failed geometry. Actually, I never took geometry.
Geometry or not geography?
Geography. I failed geometry too, by the way. So, but anyways, episode 10!
Diaz.
We're in double digits now, guys.
We are in the double digits. High five. High five. High five. High five. Yelly, you're so far. High
five.
Yes, we are in episode 10 now. Can you believe it? We've gone this far.
And for those in Texas, 10 episodes.
10 episodes. Yes, we are now on episode 10. I am completely amazed with the amount of listeners we have and the amount of support that we have. We've gotten this far, and we've evolved from episode 1 to now. Hey, you have to admit episode 1 and 2, the episodes volumes and
the audio was a bit shoddy, so.
Yeah.
I liked your choice of words, we evolved.
Yeah, we evolved cuz humans evolved.
I just imagined you as like a little molting alien that's like, well,
I'm evolving
with headphones on.
Like, we still only have one person who wears headphones. We should really have everyone, but...
Nah, it's fine. We're chill.
Right? I get to listen to y'all.
We Gucci.
I get to listen to y'all in high def, so...
High def.
High def.
Whisper.
Okay, we're getting off tangent. No, yes.
Episode 10, and 10. It is Murder Week.
Murder Week, but we're not covering a murder.
Boo.
It's true crime, and technically there is a murder.
Okay.
Spoiler.
Okay. Come at me, bruh.
Minus point.
You should have been
we
like...
We got spoiler already.
Right?
Even
Yelly,
before the title.
Yelly, you want to do the honors of...
Minus point for team murder. To spoiling that there's a murder. You're the one who technically told us the murder.
Oh my god.
I didn't know there was a murder until you mentioned it.
See? Joe, I've mentioned this case to you before.
And yeah, you know how good my memory is.
You keep being like, oh, there's a this instead. Like,
it's okay. We'll rebuke that later. We're busting your balls, Sam. We'll rebuke that later.
Even though it's a murder week, I feel like I'm being picked on for 2 weeks in a row. Oh, my gosh. So, Yelly, what are you drinking right now?
Honestly, nothing.
Like, you need a drink.
I was going to take some of Joe's.
But we can't seem to find the little shot glassy thingies. Honestly,
like, it looks like piss in a jar. Like,
aren't the shot glasses in the car still?
Like, they're probably in the car.
Undehydrated.
Just take a sip from it.
Yeah, but it looks like especially doesn't help after Joe's little Cartman story that he's like, yeah, oh, I paid in the holy water. I'm sitting here
drinking it.
Yelly, for our viewers, you need to tell them, what is it?
I don't know what it is.
Take a sip of, take a fucking
sip. Am I guessing? Let me go get a cup.
It's specifically meant, specifically meant to be iced tea. So put a little bit of ice in it. I just noticed Sam doesn't have tea
either. It honestly just tastes like the Arizona green tea.
Really?
Really?
It might be the honey then, because if I just brew it without the honey.
There's some like fucking leafy aftertaste though too.
That's a citrus.
So, yeah. Joe.
Yeah.
Why don't you share to us what you're drinking then, so that way what you and Yelly are drinking.
All right. So we have today a Pure Leaf iced tea.
Hey, Sam.
It's a green tea.
Here you go. Your turn.
She's going to hate it.
She's going to hate it, but she made me fucking taste it, so.
Anyway, it's an iced tea, green tea with citrus, and it comes with 16 pyramid bags.
Needs more sugar.
Each one, yeah, it does. It does taste a little bit better with a little bit of sugar. I'm not saying
it's bad. I actually like it. Just fucking handsome.
You need to have the second sip. The first one is your brain, like, acknowledging, like, what you're drinking. The second one is actually your favorite palate. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the citrus in there.
It needs sugar.
It's a longleaf Indonesian green tea balanced with citrus flavors and real orange pieces, which makes this extraordinary iced tea. Pure Leaf longleaf teas are simply picked, rolled, and crafted for exceptional flavor.
Sponsors.
I don't know if I want this one to sponsor me, because I was going to be like, AKA, it tastes like ass.
You know what? It's probably that licorice root, though.
Oh, Joe!
I didn't know the ingredients until just now. And it's got green tea, orange leaves, rose hips, citric acid.
More rose hips. We keep hearing those damn hips.
I know. Citric acid, dried orange, lemongrass, natural flavor, and licorice root is what's the ingredients. And actually, now that I think about it, I can taste a little hint of that licorice root. Actually, it's actually not bad.
No wonder it's fucking nasty.
Oh my god. No, it's not nasty. It's delicious.
Careful, because it's leaky.
Arizona red apple green tea with ginseng and apple juice.
Did you mix that with the jasmine?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Want to try it?
Yeah, I'll try it, since you tried mine.
I like it.
Bleh.
Need some more sugar?
Ooh, I actually kind of like that.
Bleh.
I get a lot of the apple with it. It's nice.
Bleh.
Sam wants, just pour fucking Dr. Pepper in it.
I don't have a
Where's your Dr. Pepper
I don't
in
have
it?
One. I decided...
Well, you've got Shirley Temple right here.
That's
maybe
what I was going to say. Good. My that's drink of choice tea. Today is a Shirley fucking Temple that I
We're
made at work before I left.
We're going to change the podcast name to, like, what the fuck are you drinking? Like... Because honestly, like, our whole tea thing's going out the...
It's not going out the window!
I've stayed true to drinking the tea.
Actually, Joe,
So let's get started. We are episode 10 in. It is murder week. We are in the two digits. Boop, boop, boop.
Deuce and digits.
Joe told us what he's drinking, which is la nasty with the licorice. So, today... As mentioned quite earlier by Joseph.
The salmon, that's what I was drinking.
We did. Okay, what are you drinking now?
A mixture of what you just had, which was the Arizona red apple green tea with ginseng and apple juice.
Apple juice?
Apple juice.
Apple juice.
And another jasmine tea by Tea Life.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm not drinking tea. I'm drinking a half-ass Shirley Temple, which strawberry syrup.
Shame. Minus points for Sam.
So I'm going to get started.
Let's get started.
Yes. So as mentioned earlier today, I'm actually not really covering a murder. It's more of a true crime, and it's a kidnapping. And it's called The Kidnapping of Colleen Stan, or AKA The Girl in the Box.
Ooh, Girl in the Box.
Yeah.
Need to take a picture of your face and post it on some Patreon. See,
and if we were live streaming, Yelly, which we're going to get to soon.
500.
We're basically at 300. 500. We're basically
That's at 200 more to go, baby.
So keep spreading us out. Keep spreading the word out.
Oh, yeah.
That we're doing this. Out, so
fucking nasty. Joe, straight up.
Keep spreading the word out of us. And that way we can get to 500. No matter listens. How
she's saying it, I'm just picturing like dirty things. She's like, keep spreading the word out of us. And I'm just so like,
that way you guys can, hey, we will do a live streaming of our recording for everyone to see.
Like butter on a piece of toast.
And we'll do a live streaming of it. And once it's done, we will post it on our Patreon if anyone wants to see it afterwards when it's not live. And during live, you guys can also ask us questions and that kind of stuff. So it'll be fun.
Yes.
And anyways.
I will have a mask on.
No, you will not, Ellie.
You gotta get over it.
Nice.
Yes. 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 Okay. So yeah, I'm covering the kidnapping of Colleen Stan, a.k.a. the girl in the box. So Colleen Stan, born December 31st, 1956, is a story that's both shocking and fascinating. She's also known as the girl in the box. She was abducted and subjected to physical and mental darkness, as well as inhuman torment, inhuman treatment from 1977 to 1984. That's 7 years of her life. This took place in Red Buff, California.
Red Buff, California? I didn't even know there was a Red Buff, California.
It's like way northern California, like closer to Oregon.
I was
Oregon.
About to ask. Oh. I was like, is it southern?
Is it like in the buff California like that, or just...
Do you think everybody that lives there is buff?
Super buff? Like, do you lift bro buff? Or like in the buff, like in their birthday suit buff?
So let's talk about the abductors. The people who did the abducting.
These are the jokes, Sam. These are the jokes.
You saw me. It's recording. It's recording.
It is recording.
Okay, cool.
Joe's like, I definitely want that one.
Okay, so.
You gotta be like a fancy bitch and just flop with the paper. Just there you go.
Okay.
If you had glasses, you could adjust them and be all smart.
You're the one with the glasses.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not the smart one with the paper right now.
Oh, God. Even Yelly was just. All right, so Cameron and. Janice?
We'll go with that, yeah, sure. I like how you flick the paper as loud as you can so the mic gets it too.
Cameron and Janice.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to
confirm. Their last name.
Cannon and Janice.
Cannon?
Cameron. And Janice Hooker.
Hooker?
Like a hooker?
Like a hooker?
You're a hooker.
You're a hooker. I knew when I was writing this, their last name was just going to be.
That's
like,
why you
the
bolded it,
show.
Didn't you? You underlined and bolded it, didn't you?
I did not underline it.
No, you didn't, but I know you will in your book.
Oh my God. So, Cameron Hooker was one sick individual.
Was she a hooker?
He.
Was he a hooker?
Did you just assume his gender?
Yes, he just totally assumed his gender.
Wow, Joe. Well, Joe. Minus point.
Oh my God, because I wasn't PC.
You
oh,
were
geez.
Assuming hooker's gender.
I'm not saying guys can't be hookers.
Apparently you think that.
And just because his name is Cameron, Joe? I mean, come on.
I've known a couple guys named Cameron.
Yeah, and I've known women too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe.
Diaz.
Oh my God.
So Cameron Hooker was one sick individual, together with his wife Janice Hooker, kidnapped and raped two women, murdering one and keeping the other as a sex slave locked in a box under their bed.
Oh, is that where the murder comes in?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. More on that later.
Okay.
Dude, how small was she to be able to fit in a box?
The box was tiny. It was described as a coffin. Okay, so yeah, he fabricated this coffin-like bed, and he also fabricated a story that he was in a demonic society or cult known as the Company to threaten his victims into submission. So he would brainwash them and thinking, hey, if you guys don't listen to me, the Company's going to get you. So apparently he had persuasive, abilities to do that to people.
Wait, so the cult was named the Company?
He had
That's a stupid cult name.
He had a +5 to his charisma dex modifier.
Yeah, he apparently was very charismatic. Joe.
Okay.
Sorry.
D&D nerd.
I was waiting for nerd.
They're pretty much nerd.
The early Okay, so the early life of Cameron Hooker offers a few hints at the monster he would become. Born in Ulster, California in 1953, Hooker moved around quite a bit with his family, but
because his family were hookers, they were all hookers. What if they took up like the business of like fish hooks and fishing, and named that fishing store Hookers?
That would have been
awesome.
That would have been an awesome, awesome company.
But they went in a total different tangent, where they went kidnapping.
He went kidnapping, not the family.
I know, but still.
Oh, God. No, it's not, but still. Hooker moved around quite a bit with his family, but was generally recalled by former classmates as a happy child who enjoyed making other children laugh. The Hooker family finally settled down in Red Buff, California in 1969, around which time it is said that Cameron's personality underwent a huge change. He became withdrawn and avoided social activities. He was a loner throughout middle school and high school and usually was being picked on by the others.
Couldn't take being a hooker anymore?
Aliens touched his forehead.
By aliens. Oh, dear God. And didn't spontaneously combust.
God damn it.
Is this part of the
And he wore Velcro shoes.
And pantyhose underneath his pants.
Oh! That's kind of kinky. He's probably like, smooth.
Like, the way this feels, this way grows weirdies.
Oh my God.
It really supports my balls.
It cups them just right.
Hugs against my legs.
Oh my God. Okay, so it wasn't until he met his future wife, Janice, that a darker side came to light. Janice was just 15 when she met the 19-year-old Cameron Hooker, who was by then working at a lumber mill. The teenage girl was insecure and admitted that no matter how good or rotten a guy was to me, I just kind of latched onto him. She remembered Hooker being nice, tall, and very good looking and was absolutely smitten by the older boy.
Smitten.
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 She was a hooker for him.
He hooked her.
He was smitting her hook.
Oh my God. Janice later described herself as the kind of person who gave in so somebody would love her. She was basically a pushover. She was always told by her family that she was like the ugly duckling.
She was a punk ass bitch is what she sounded like. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, she was put down. You laugh
because it's true.
Well, she was put down a lot when she was younger.
So she has like confidence issues.
Yeah, her dad and her parents would always be like, you're ugly. No one's going to ever want you or marry you, that type of thing. So when someone actually showed her.
She had wide shoulders. I knew it.
So when someone finally gave her the time of day, she kind of just like fell fucking hard, like headstrong. So
has trying to take you up.
Was it bad that I was singing the same thing?
So when she fell so headstrong and
take you up.
When Hooker asked if he could suspend her from a tree by leather handcuffs, something he claimed he had done with other girlfriends, she complied. And also being
she probably like blushed all like somebody noticed me.
Oh my God.
I just imagined like a beginning of a hentai so bad being like
yes, anything for you, senpai. So yeah, she was also a newbie to relationships and was a virgin, so she kind of thought, and she was told and brought up that whatever her husband wanted, she had to comply. So yeah, she wasn't really loved all that much, so she thought this was normal. And
not
so she
even
complied.
By her own family? That's so mean.
Although the experience hurt and frightened Janice, Hooker was so affectionate afterwards that she managed to dispel any misgivings. As the relationship progressed, so did the violence Hooker performed on Janice. I left out a lot of dirty details because I was like, I don't want to scare Yelly.
Ghetto prods? That's Yelly's
so,
thing.
So, like... I don't know whether to be offended or laugh because I'm just like, Joe, are you calling me a fucking cow right now?
No.
Or it's like, is that like a kink that like
it's
Joe's
like, a
like
kink that I was thinking about. Not sure.
I took it the other way.
Sure, Joe. Sure, we'll call it that. We'll go that
it's
way.
It's my wide shoulders. I knew it. I'm gonna go cry. Where's the chocolate?
I have one more. You want more chocolate?
I had a Twix. So it was nothing but chocolate, but you denied that
not,
shit.
That's too much fucking chocolate. It's not Twix.
Too much chocolate.
It was triple chocolate. It no. legitimately
chocolate
packaged.
Cookie with chocolate fudge.
Wait, did you save the packaging? Why don't we ever take a picture before we nom nom everything?
I wonder that too.
It's all the packaging.
So yeah, being so young and naive, even new to relationships, Janice thought this was normal. She was also brought up to listen to her boyfriend / husband and comply with whatever his demands may be.
Wasn't sure if it was.
Can you read that one more time and slower? And then I heard, blah, 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 blah. I was like, what happened to the story?
Being so young and naive, even new to relationships, Janice thought this was normal. She was also brought up to listen to her boyfriend / husband and comply with whatever his demands may be.
So the cattle prodding?
Yeah.
Can we put the kink stuff back in? Do you remember any of it?
I remember all of it.
She remembers all
kink,
of it.
Kink it, friend. Kink it.
Kink it.
Kink it.
I'll get to that in a second.
This is what the... You just had the episode of, like ASMR, but the cattle prodding and everything else is too much.
I might mention this later on. I don't remember if I had actually written in here. So when he, actually, let me finish this last part and then we'll get back to it because I need to finish this part.
I want the kink now.
I'll tell you the kink in a second. Give me like 5 seconds, 5 minutes. So
5 seconds or 5 minutes.
Less if we're not interrupted.
But you can't give me this part of the story and just be like, yes, there was more, and then assume that I wouldn't like listening to it or scare me off of the kink stuff.
I will get to the kink
stuff.
It's
like you're feeding me a cake and it's like, here's the cake, and it's just the bread. I was like, where's the fucking filling and frosting?
Okay, so Cameron and Janice wed on 1975. The sadomasochist acts had expanded to include whipping, choking, and underwater submersion to the point that Cameron nearly killed his young wife.
Wow.
Told you 5 seconds. It was literally right there.
You said 5 minutes, too.
Because I was.
But then you didn't mention any cattle prod.
He would use electrocution.
So electrocution, cattle prodding, choking.
Choking, drowning, submission, drowning. He had this thing where he liked to hold the woman underwater while he was screwing her, and as she's drowning, he is fucking the living daylights out of her.
Do you think it, like, maybe I shouldn't talk about this because we have people that we work with.
What is it, Yelly? What were you gonna say?
I was thinking, like, fuck it, I don't give a shit. Okay, people can judge me at work if they want to. I was like, do you think this, what is it called? The suffocation or whatever?
Yeah.
The
asphyxiation.
Choking.
What's your word of the day?
Asphyxiation. My accent. Don't let me say the ethin, okay?
What is the... Can you say the word one more time?
Asphyxiation.
Okay.
Right?
Asphyxiation.
You can't forget it now. It has the word ass in it.
Asphyxiation.
Right?
Do you think it's like... The asphyxiation, like underneath the water, then tightens down there, and it's like, I lock it, it's hotter, or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyone that has that kind of kink rush out there that's doing it safely and has a safe word, please let us know in the comments on Facebook.
How do you have a safe word if you're underwater?
That's what I was about to say. How do you say pineapples underwater?
Okay.
I think I'm just going to title this pineapples. Pineapples.
The same word is pineapples.
People are just going to walk up to a Sam, pineapples.
Oh my God.
No, but they have to do it in like the voice of the drowning. I'm sorry, but yeah, that's like, see, this is the part that we laugh and joke about, but like, yes, please.
Deep down inside, if you're like cringing, into what laughing, actually.
Cringe laughing, but deep down inside, though, if you guys are into these like super weird kinks, no kink shaming or anything, but at least practice it safely, right, and, please, yeah, and right, with consent.
Have
like,
a safe word.
Consent. Consent is the main thing. If you guys are, both parties are okay with it, then by all means, whatever's your fancy. Whatever your safe word is, that is your fancy. I'm like, but practice safe. Be safe. So yeah, he would do a lot of things. Execution. Electrocution was his thing. He actually...
On him or others?
Others.
I will get to that, actually. But, so yeah.
See, like, this kind of stuff I can talk about, but when you get to the fucking shoelaces and you're killing...
Oh, I keep bringing... Everyone's Velcro. Like, what the fuck is a shoelace murder? I'm like, we'll cover that soon. So...
We'll go over it again. No,
it's forgotten forever.
No, I'm going to cover that murder eventually again.
We keep bringing it up.
Maybe we'll do it on the 50th episode.
With the drinking. So I get even more angry? Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, if you guys want to hear it on our 50th episode... What is the shoelace murder that we keep talking about while we're drinking? It could be funny. Or violent.
Or both.
Why violent?
Or both.
Some of the fucking Velcros. We need to buy Velcro shoes for that episode. In honor.
I know. In honor. Anyway, so yeah. Janice would later testify that although she did not enjoy the act, she continued to love Cameron and, above all, desired to have children with him. The same year that they were married, Cameron and Janice came to agreement that they could have a child if Cameron could take a slave girl.
You know what? I know I was totally listening, but I just had a genius idea for that 50th. We should raffle off some shoelaces that have, like, little ghosts.
Our ghosts on them?
Yeah.
That could be nice merchandise.
As a little, like, thank you to our listeners for staying with us and listening through all the way to our 50th episode of crap. Like,
yeah. That's a good idea. We can work on that design. Yeah, I like that.
Well, like, not even, like, a design. We have the little ghost one, and they have, like, I don't know if they print on shoelaces, though.
I can look it up. I can see what I can find.
But that would be, like...
Right, we can raffle it off and be like, hey, lucky number, this, whatever,
yeah,
whatever.
Like, one on Twitter, one on Facebook, yeah. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, we can work on that. So, Janice had hoped that the slave girl would give her husband a different outlet for his painful fantasies.
So she wasn't okay with all the pain anymore.
Oh, she hated it. She never liked it from day one, but because she thought she had to please her husband and this is what he wanted.
Because of the low confidence and...
Not just the low confidence.
Inexperience.
Not everyone is into
masochism.
Word of the day, Sam.
No, word of the day.
Slowly. Sound it out.
Masochism. I want to say mannequin for some reason.
Sadomannequin.
Sadomannequin.
Sounds like, I'll be your mannequin.
It's Dolores. Dolores. Right. Go get Dolores.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, so not everyone is into that. Sadomannequism.
Masochism.
I know English. I know English.
Mannequism.
Right. So not everyone's into that. Mm-hmm. It's not their cup of tea. Giggity.
Yeah, but because, like, if she would have had more experience,
would you like a sugar cube?
Yeah.
So, you know where cup of tea originates from? Oh. It originates from Great Britain as a polite way to refuse anal. It's not my cup of tea. Would you like to do anal? It's not my cup of tea. It's a polite way to refuse anal.
Yep.
Should make that the title. It's not my cup of tea. Pineapples.
But yeah, there's
or pineapples. It's not my cup of tea.
there's your little sugar cube for the day.
Yeah. So,
all our Great Britain listeners out there,
you want to confirm this for us? They have, like, no, you're wrong.
It is my cup of tea, is what they're gonna say.
They have a completely different language for their slang.
Really?
Yeah. They
do. That's going to be crazy. Just something that we're like, no.
Now that we have Great Britain listeners, do you guys want to send us your slang?
Can't we just, like, Urban Dictionary it?
We could, but it would be awesomer.
If they tell us.
If we get one of our listeners to actually tell us. Or record it, because, you know, you might have a really awesome, sexy accent.
Wow, Sam. Just what? Straight up. She's like, that's my cup of tea.
That is my cup of tea. So she was tired of it. She was not into it. And she didn't like the pain. And she got, like, no kink out of it whatsoever. So she figured.
So why did she stay?
Because she loved him.
Again, it was her first, like, love. Love, 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 love.
Love, 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 love.
Pineapples.
So she came to the agreement, and she really wanted to have a family. She really wanted to have a baby. So she told him, she's like, hey, put a baby in me, and I'll let you go and get yourself a slave girl. And he's like, fuck yeah. So he put a baby in her. This is weird, because it's going to pop up again. So they made a contract, and they signed this contract. And in the contract, there were certain clauses that they both had to follow. To get a slave girl. So yeah, you cannot have intercourse with a girl, no kissing, and no more abuse on herself, only on the slave. and they have to follow certain guidelines. And she has to be present during every time he wants to do something to her.
Wow. So it's like, let me watch.
Well, she wanted to make sure that he didn't break the rules.
Oh, yeah.
More like it than anything else. So once they agreed on it, they signed it, and she had her baby. Janice gave birth to their daughter in 1976, and about a year later, in May 1977, the couple upheld the other end of the bargain, and they went to go find their victim.
Wow.
Yep.
How does that kind of conversation ever come up, too? It's just like, you know what, babe? I'm tired of your abuse. I'm tired of the pineapples. Why don't we just get you a sex slave?
I'm tired of the chlorine in my lungs. Yeah. From choking me in the pool.
I'm tired of
the kettle prong. Me.
I don't like... I was going to say something.
You know what I think is even fucking creepier is then that child's gonna grow up and be like
thinking that it's okay.
Daddy, I think daddy's winning in the pool.
Oh my god!
I
don't know why I did that fucking voice for the kid though. Either
since
I
they're here in California, I don't know why they would have that accent. But anyways, so a little.
You want me to change it, mommy, daddy? Can I go surfing while you guys are fucking in the pool?
Oh my god.
No, they were actually able to keep it under wraps pretty well from their kids.
Kids? They had more than one?
Yeah. Just goes to show you don't really know.
They're sadomasochism.
Sadomasochism?
Yes. Masochism, yeah. They were able to keep it pretty under wraps without letting their kids know about what was going on.
Wow.
It's like, we don't want our kids to grow up as fucked up as we are.
More like fucked up as the husband. So,
I think it takes two to tango. I'm just saying.
She was the one who brought it up and being like, let's get you a sex slave.
But he's not fucking pointing a gun to her head. She could be like, I'm going to disappear in the middle of the night and just fucking steal the car and then wander off from fucking there.
Think of the time. 1970s.
It was the 70s. Fucking hippies. Like, yeah, I'm out. I'm Moonflower. I'm gone. Yo, I'm not into your fucking pineapple sex. So...
In May 19th, 1977.
I love how sound keeps, like, continuing with the fucking story.
Dude, we're barely on page one right now. And I
thought
six.
You flipped it over.
This is still page one.
Page one on the second side? On the second side. Second side?
Yes.
Okay.
Technically, page two.
Yeah. Okay, page two, whatever. On May 19th, 1977, Colleen Stan was hitchhiking from her home in Eugene, Oregon, to a friend's home in Northern California for a birthday party on Interstate 5.
She was on Interstate 5 on foot?
Yeah. Oh, hitchhiking.
Okay, that 70s. Makes sense. That's right.
Here
the
we
70s,
go.
Yeah.
Moonflower.
Did she have flowers in her hair?
Probably.
Okay.
What was her name?
Colleen. So, Colleen considered herself an experienced hitchhiker, and she had even allowed two rides to go past, rejecting their rides, before accepting a ride from a couple in a blue van. Jeez. They also had a baby in the back. Little did she know this choice would spiral out of control.
I know, like, hey, do you need a ride? I'm safe. And it's like, no.
No, next.
It's like, could you imagine, like the baby seat in the back, and right next to it is the cattle prod, and she's like, These people seem legit. Let's go ahead and go with these guys.
I want to know what the cattle prod said. Like, what was the brand? He's like, medium rare.
Oh man. This is, yeah. So, in said car was 23-year-old Cameron Hooker, his 19-year-old wife, Janice Hooker.
Oh, they were young, too.
Very. And their newborn baby in the back seat. Colleen was reassured by the presence of Janice and the infant and gladly accepted the ride. She figured it was safe. She was what she was in for. The family was far from safe. Cameron and Janice Hooker had been actively looking for a hitchhiker to kidnap. Cameron, a lumber mill worker, had intense bondage fantasies. Once in the car, Cameron stated that they needed gas and stopped at a gas station along the way. Colleen went to use the restroom and she remembered a voice in the side of her head. The voice told her, or she said, a voice told me to run and jump out the window and never look back. But she calmed her fears and she went back inside. Big mistake.
Yeah, that intuition, you should probably listen to
it. A little gut feeling you have, fucking yeah. Run with it.
Right? Don't. Just don't. So, according to the testimonies by Colleen and Janice, they were alone in an isolated area. Cameron Hooker pulled off the highway, pulled out a knife, and held it to Colleen's throat. She was then locked into a wooden headbox that was said to weigh about 20 pounds. It was designed to prevent light, sound, and fresh air from entering. I have a picture.
What? It's almost like a gag mask, huh? Just with a box.
Kind of like a gimp box instead, or gimp mask.
No, it was an actual box with hinges, but it was made so no light can get inside. Yeah, I'll cover that in a second.
This is the actual box?
That's the actual box.
20 pounds, too.
Yeah, it was supposed to be that way, so that way she couldn't move her head or try and struggle much, because it was kind of throwing her off. That is the actual box.
My face is just like, ugh. Like, who takes the time? I was like, I'm going to make this fucking gag box.
Well, he was an excellent carpenter, and he also made the coffin that she would be in underneath the bed.
Why can't this fucker, like, use his woodland skills to make a table? Like, a nice... Like
a torture chamber table.
With you want to see the box that she was in?
What's that horse one?
The wooden horse.
You want to see the box she was in?
Let me see, bring it closer.
It looks like there's urine.
It
kind of does.
I think that.
I'll get to that in a second.
I'm pretty sure that's urine stains.
Yeah, or shit. That's probably kinda gnarly probably and gross. Both.
Yeah.
So there's a box within a box, so you couldn't see under the. Oh my god!
It looked
god.
Like it was. If you looked under and picked it, it looked like it was just a bed frame. But if you opened a certain part on the very hatch, it was a hidden hatch that you would open and it would just slide out.
Yes, ma'am. Wooden prisons of kinks.
Yep, so.
Poor girl.
Were you happy? I had that ready. I was just like, bam, I'm going to show Yelly this. I'm going to fucking do it. So,
and she fucking did it.
You showed me the pee-pee box.
Yeah, I showed you the pee-pee box. So yeah, Cameron Hooker did not remove the head box until they were back at his house. And of course, that was in Buff.
Buff? Red buff?
Red buff, baby, and I dance like a man.
After which point, he promptly hung Colleen from the ceiling naked and blindfolded and gagged her. Over the course of the next 7 years, Hooker subjected Stan to almost unspeakable tortures. She was whipped, electrocuted, and despite Janice's initial protests, she was eventually raped. Before he began raping Colleen, Cameron and Janice, after torturing her, would then have sex either next to her, on top of her, or below her. While Cameron was at work during the day, Colleen was kept chained up in a coffin-like box under the couple's bed. So
I think there
was a little bit more details to that. I decided to make it pretty general. So there were times when Cameron and Janice would be having sex next to Colleen, and he'd be prodding her with an electrocution. There'd be times where he's strangling her but having sex with Janice.
So all the painful things he would do to Colleen.
Yes. And only do like the vanilla stuff with Colleen. Janice.
Yeah.
So that happened a lot. And there was actually times where they would suspend her by her wrist. And I read a report while they had sex underneath her while she was screaming in pain.
Mm.
So yeah, they did a lot of twisted things.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's just like the tip of the iceberg. Like, you don't get to see everything underneath. Like they say in icebergs, you see how small it is on the top, but on the bottom it could be something big. Yeah, that was this.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first few months of her imprisonment, Colleen would spend 23 hours per day locked in the box, where she would have difficulties breathing. Her bathroom was a bedpan that she was forced to leave under her, and sometimes would overfill and get all over the place. She wasn't allowed to take showers often, and if she was, she had to be supervised. She was also fed usually cold scraps or sometimes a paste-like substance that was put through a straw through her mask. In addition to the lack of air inside the box, the heat was a major issue in the summer of the months because, hey, it's California. And they didn't have AC. So imagine if it was 90 degrees in your house being locked in a box underneath a bed, how much that could be. Colleen was also ordered to stay completely silent while she was in the box. In 1978, while Colleen was locked in the box under the bed, it was reported that Janice gave birth to their second child on top of the bed while she was locked under.
Wow.
Yeah. So Janice always wanted to have her babies at home. And never at a hospital. I don't know why. I didn't look into it. And I did. I just couldn't find any information. So she gave birth to their second baby on the bed. And Colleen listened to her scream in agonizing pain. So, and she couldn't make any noise about it. I thought it was weird. Like, let's throw that incident, like that little tidbit in there. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm just like shocked at like how like So she had kids by herself, but like you're underneath this fucking box hole and you wouldn't fucking scream or do something because there's got to be other people that were like
nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone. So everyone thought she was suffering through Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm. There you go. Yeah. Stockholm syndrome. And but she refutes that and says she was not suffering from it. She was just scared. So she kept quiet a lot and did what she was told. I'll get into both in just a second, actually. So
about Stockholm syndrome or the other thing?
Both. In January of 1978, Cameron gave her a slavery for life contract to sign. We're back to the contracts again.
What the fuck is with these people making contracts?
I don't know.
Because they're white-collar American people they're in hookers. California. And yeah,
they're hooked in the contract.
Colleen had no other choice but to sign the contract. Her captor also informed her about the secret organization and kept reminding her about the company and how it was watching her day and night. And they had people watching her family day and night. And if she attempted to escape or attempted to say anything or do anything that he was not okay with, they would assassinate her family. And I guess, I don't know, this guy may have like plus 20 to his persuasion and was just like completely able to, like, I don't know. Every single time I would look into the company and his way of brainwashing, not just Cameron, but Janice about the company, there wasn't a lot of information about it. So whether supposedly the company
was just like a bluff.
Yeah. But the way he sold it to her was so convincing that he kept her around for 7 years just using the threat of the company. So it's like, again,
Janice or Colleen?
Both, really.
7 years?
Yeah.
She was in that fucking box for 7 years?
Yep. And
my face is just like dropped. Seven fucking years? I would imagine like a couple of months, but being in that box for 7 years?
Yeah, I'm going to just jump forward really ahead. And you know how I mentioned Stockholm Syndrome? You know what that is?
Explain to me.
So Stockholm Syndrome is feeling or trust or affection felt in many cases of kidnapping or hostage taking by the victim toward the captor. So in other words, they start feeling sympathy for their captor. They start feeling feelings for their captor. These alliances are a result of a bond formed between a captor and the captives during an intimate time spent together.
And it's also them trying to justify what they're doing or what's being done to them.
Like, their brain trying to comprehend and put together. Like,
yeah, but it gets to the point that the person who's been captured starts to agree with them, starts to sympathize for them, and starts to believe everything that they say, and starts to actually have feelings for said person. So, oh yeah, and the term was coined in the first known case in 1973 when the four hostages were taken during a bank robbery and later trusted and turned toward being one of the robbers, and this happened in Stockholm, in Sweden. Little sugar cubie for there. Yeah, so they thought she had Stockholm Syndrome because they're just like, you're going to find out more things that are happening. And not just that, but she was so petrified about the company, she refused to just do anything for her own safety. But they're just like, he would give no evidence of what the company was. He would just use words, and she would be scared shitless to not want to defy him because of the company. But she never once saw who the company was. She never once heard from them. All she heard was of what Cameron would tell her about the company. Mm-hmm. So people were just like, what the fuck? That makes no sense. So that was the main reason. As she signed the contract, and because she signed the contract, they were like, legally, you can't do anything to me now because you signed a contract that you're a willing party. Uh-huh. Supposedly. It's weird. There's an actual picture of the contract. I didn't save it, but it's a lot of gibberish. It's really stupid. This non-existent entity was Colleen's main fear throughout her life as a slave. She had been brainwashed into thinking that the company was real. The company was the reason why Colleen did not tell anyone about her situation, even when she had the opportunity to do so. As a slave, Colleen had to refer to her torturer as master and had to wait for permission to speak or do anything, even go to the bathroom. Colleen's slave name was simply Kay. Although Cameron refrained from engaging in vaginal sex with his slave, he would rape her with inanimate objects, and he would engage in oral and anal sex with her. Because Janice said that was okay. Yeah, But Janice said it was okay for him to do the anal and the oral, but not the vaginal because that's more sacred. They were actually also Little Sugar Cube, very religious people. So as time passed, she didn't
tell us what's going through your mind right now, Yelly.
Just straight up, Jesus. You have to love Jesus and respect thy neighbor, but obviously chain them up in a box underneath your bed as well.
Neighbors are okay, but not hitchhikers. You can do whatever you want with them.
They're not real people.
Not the hippies.
Okay. So as time passed, she didn't spend as much time in the coffin-like box. And her daily routine also included caring for the hooker's two daughters, who were unaware that she was a slave in their parents' house, nor even living in the house, period.
Damn.
In fact, no one suspected what was going on, as the arrangement looked like Colleen Stan was hired as a housekeeper for the hookers. She was allowed outside to garden, go to the store, and even pick up the children at school when they became of age. She even would go out on jogs alone.
Which is where the whole Stockholm syndrome thing comes in.
If she had all these opportunities to run away, why wasn't she running away?
She liked it.
Yeah. People were like, Stockholm Syndrome, or this is... We'll get into it, but...
Or she was into it.
Yeah, the defense attorney tried throwing that at them. They're like, if she had all these chances to run away, why didn't she?
Interesting.
Yeah, so as time continued, this is where it gets more like, what the fuck? Even though she was allowed out of the box, there were times where they would revert back to her being back into the box.
Mm-hmm.
So the time continued. Something happened. Colleen was only allowed out of the box for about 2 hours each day. But with this time, she earned herself more liberty, such as accompany Janice on social outings. They actually would go to church together, too. In March 1981, after over 3 years of living with her captors, Cameron took Colleen for a brief visit to her parents in Oregon. Colleen Stan introduced Cameron as her fiancé.
Go ahead, Ellie. I know you've got something to say.
I'm so confused. Wait, he took her to his parents?
Her parents.
I'm seeing that loading bar above Haley's head again.
So keep this in mind again. She was supposedly held captured as a slave for 7 years. After 3 years, in those 7 years...
Was that written in the contract?
No.
You have to come meet my parents, and you have to sign this in this contract.
It was more so, I think if
fucking
I read...
People are crazy. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
If I read this...
What the fuck?
If I read this correctly, he was going there on a business trip. And
so he's like, let me take my little sex slave with me on my business trip.
And let's go meet your family.
Yeah,
so Colleen Stan introduced Cameron Hooker as her fiancé to her parents.
As her fiancé?
As her fiancé, and she was able to stay with him for 2 days. 2 days, and on the third day is when they finally left.
Where's the dude?
Working. She was not...
So it was just the two girls?
No, it was just her with her parents.
It was Cameron...
So it was him and
Cameron,
her.
Cameron took Colleen...
To Colleen's parents. I thought it was the other bitch's parents.
Nope. Colleen's parents.
How could you not be like, I need help blink twice?
Right?
Excessive blinking happening right now, just so the listeners can know.
Yes.
Like,
so.
Oh my God.
He
oh my
took
God.
Her to go
oh
see
God.
Her family.
Oh my God. I'm done. I'm done with this story.
Yeah.
No.
So people.
Like, that is your, like, mega chance to be like, hey.
Help me. I'm in a safe place. Someone save me. No. People noticed that she looked frightened. She also looked a little different. She obviously looked like she was skinny and she, you know, had seen better days. But she never revealed any information of things that were going on.
Maybe he was like threatening her.
Yeah,
like
he was. Of course. Of course he was.
With the company. He was with threatening her with the company.
Not the company.
So,
not to mention, we'll lose the farm.
She was afraid if she revealed any information regarding her predicament with her parents, the company would surely kill them all. So she was terrified for their well-being
safety.
And their safety. And I will show you my next picture.
No, I'm done. I don't want to live on this planet
That's them.
Anymore.
The parents managed to take a picture of them before they left.
That's him and her?
Yep. Doesn't she look happy?
His face, like, disc- disgusts me, dude. Like,
he's his pictures are worse. His pictures all look like he's just a straight monster. You
can see that fucking creeper face, like, from a mile away.
He has more tooth than gum.
Oh, my God.
It's not a very good tooth-to-gum ratio.
So, yeah. They took this picture. People were just like, oh, okay, they look like a couple in love. Like, okay, what can we do? So Colleen Stan's parents were super happy to be united with their daughter.
Well, yeah, they haven't seen her for fucking 7 years.
For 3 years. They hadn't seen her for 3 years. And so...
No, this all seems fucking fishy. Like, fucking...
Yeah, so you can just imagine what the defense team had a...
hell field day with it. Yes.
So... But then you also have to think of the time that this happened in the 1970s. Cults were everything back then. So the parents had actually thought that her daughter had run off to join a cult. They were happy they were able to reunite with their daughter. They had tried to get, hey, so where's your address with your fiance? Can we get a phone number so we can call you? They were able to give none of that.
1-800, I'm locked in a box.
So they didn't want to pressure her, or they didn't want to, like, really push her because they were afraid that they would lose her for good and she'd run away and join the cult and they would never see their daughter again. So they didn't really push her too much. They were afraid she would run away. They were afraid that they would never see her again. So they kind of just were like, hey, we can help you if you need help.
Was this before or after the whole Heaven's Gate thing? Before, right? Because Heaven's Gate.
I think it might have been before, because I think Heaven's Gate was like in the 1980s.
Yeah, like early 80s, late 90s.
Yeah. So I think.
80s to 90s.
Yeah. So that's when I said they had even managed to take a picture of the two before the two returned back to Cameron Hooker's home. And that was the picture I showed you. And they were just like, it seemed normal, but we didn't want to lose our daughter because we were afraid if we pressured her or we were afraid if we were like questioned her even more that she would run off. She was gone for 3 years. How much longer is she going to be gone for? They left after 3 days. So Colleen made no attempts to escape. And even though she had every opportunity to do so and even to reveal what was going on, Cameron was still convinced that he was going, that he was giving his slave too much freedom.
You think?
For this reason, Colleen was forced back into the box under the bed and would spend the next 3 years solid locked in the same wooden box where her horrifying nightmares began once more. This time, they would only let her out for 30 minutes out of the day. And that was enough for her to clean her bedpan, have a quick snack, maybe take a shower. She was only allowed for shorter periods of the time and was mostly to satisfy the cat. Or he would let her out if he needed to satisfy his urges. That went on for 3 years. So that's 6 years now. Now, her escape.
No, when you say escape, is this more of like she kind of like gets out and a police cop actually like notices and is like, hey.
It's not Jeffrey Dahmer.
Okay.
I will tell you how.
Tell me the story.
So in 1983, Colleen Stan was released from the box and was allowed to become a normal member of society. Colleen was permitted to begin interacting with the children once again and was even allowed to get a job as a maid at a hotel. So they're like, oh, you've been punished for 3 years. I think it's time for you to be, you know, a person of society. So they let her go, but she still lived with them. She went back to her gardening, went back to jogging, got a job as a maid, took care of the kids, was one of the family. However, it was then that Cameron outraged his wife and admitted to his wife, Janice, that he wanted and started suggesting that Colleen could become his second wife. This is where it like broke the camel's back. Janice was like, no, I'm your wife. By God, under God, I am your wife and your only wife. And she's only there to satisfy your monstrous like hunger for stupid things that I don't want to fulfill. I will not permit it. I will not allow it. So Cameron kind of sort of admitted to being in love with Colleen. He was in love with Colleen, but also still in love with Janice, and he wanted them both as his wife. This is where Janice, who was also brainwashed and also tortured Cameron, she couldn't stand it any longer. She figured she needed her out of the house so she can try and regain her husband's love. Janice confessed to Cameron that she too was brainwashed and that she had developed denial techniques and compartmentalize. There you go.
Joe, you speak English good.
Right.
Better. This is why we keep you around.
Oh my God.
So yeah, she had
Compartmentalize.
Carpe diem.
Right. Yeah, she confessed to Cameron that she was also brainwashed, and she apologized for everything, but she was under the impression that, you know, I had to do this to please my husband. You know, this is what my husband wanted, but she was young when she married him. And now that she's older, this is 6 years going by, she realized...
how old is she at this point?
About 25, 26. So after the time has gone by, she's come to realize, I don't have to be doing this for him. Like, I'm my own woman. I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. I don't have to depend on him and stuff like that. So she thought, you know, maybe I could change him. Janice also revealed to Colleen that Cameron was not part of the company, and she helped her escape. So she finally convinced Colleen that there's no such thing as the company. And if there is, my husband is not part of it. It was all a ruse. He was all saying it just to keep you scared and keep you here. You're fine. You're safe. He knows nothing about your family. In fact, one of the reasons why he took you to go see his family so he could find out where your family lives. She finally snapped it out of her head that there's no such thing as the company. Mm-hmm. So Janice literally escorted Colleen to the bus stop. Janice had also begged Colleen not to say anything, convinced her that her husband could be rehabilitated.
Could you imagine that departure? She's like, do you have any parting words? Yes. And then, like, she hugs her and says, in her ear.
Oh, my God.
She's like, gets up into the bus, and she's, like, waving, and she's, like, single tear coming down her face. And...
That was a super weird interaction that you just made me envision.
I kind of envisioned it, too. It
was escorting her.
She didn't really escort her all the way.
She was just like, here's some fucking bus money. Get out of my
life. She didn't. She kind of just was just like, get out of here before my husband comes back and get out of here before I change my mind.
What about the kids? Aren't the kids like 6 and whatever now?
Yeah. They're a little bit older. They can kind of understand shit, but they're still young, so they can't fully understand everything just yet. Yeah, so once told the company was not real, Colleen's confidence skyrocketed, and it gave her the confidence she needed to escape. Since she was no longer confined to her box, the young woman walked to the nearest bus station and called her captor to let him know that she had enough.
Oh, my God.
She called Cameron.
Hey, by the way, I'm not at the house anymore. Your wife let me go. Bye.
No. It went, hello. Cameron, motherfucking pineapples, goodbye.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so...
It's the last time you're going to hear that shit, bitch.
And just she like called him at work and told him that she was gone and that she's never coming back. And...
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
This was the weird part. So Cameron's reaction was not that of a normal reaction to someone losing someone they just held captive for like 7 years.
Well, it looks like I gotta go find another one.
So Cameron's reaction to this was weird. He did not threaten her or show her any anger. Instead, he began crying. And it wasn't because he thought, oh no, I'm gonna get caught by the police. He was just like, I love you. He started proclaiming his love to her, said that I love you more than I love Janice. You're my one true love. He even politely asked her to stay and if she could forgive him for everything he had done. She was having none of it. She hung up and left and boarded a bus and went home. Surprisingly, Colleen Stan never went to the police, though. After calling her father, he paid for her bus ticket to come home, and she tried to resume a normal life. She was terrified by the experience and never told anyone about her escape. However, this would change. So she didn't go to the police right away. She didn't want to report them. So people were like, why the fuck not? You're not under their control. Here's a sugar cube. Oddly, Colleen Stan, even after being released, was still maintaining communication with her captors for several months. That's not Stockholm Syndrome. I don't know. Instead of being like, fuck you guys, I'm out of your life. Or fuck you, I'm gone. She would regularly call and write them.
Got her fucked up in the head pretty hard.
Yeah, he brainwashed her pretty fucking well. So months after Colleen Stan released, Janice realized that she could not save her husband. She reported him first to her pastor, saying that she had to admit to some things. When the pastor realized how bad this was, he told her the authorities needed to be told. On November 18th, 1984...
Can you imagine being a pastor and all the shit you fucking hear from people's confessions? Right. And you're just like...
And this is one where he was just
Jesus.
Like,
Jesus, you need Jesus.
Baby Jesus.
Give me five Hail Marys and just get the fuck out of here.
I don't ever want to fucking see you again. Why did you go
like southern, like Midwest?
Yeah, it was really weird. So on November 18th, 1984, Cameron Hooker was arrested and his wife testified against him in court in exchange for full immunity.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Justice system. So during the trial.
Justice.
Janice had revealed there had been another woman before Colleen Stan. 19-year-old Elizabeth Sapake? Sapake?
I don't know.
S-P-A-N-N-H-A-K-E.
Okay.
Yes. Remember that murderer I mentioned earlier?
Ja.
This is her. So.
This was before Colleen.
Yes. Yes. So, Elizabeth was abducted on January 31st, 1976, a year before they offered a ride to Colleen Stan. The couple had picked up Elizabeth, and she was trying to hitchhike to Chico, California. According to Janice, they took the young woman to their home in Red Buff, California, and Cameron physically harmed and eventually murdered her. Her body has never been found, and authorities were not able to find enough evidence to prosecute Cameron for her death. So her death is still considered unsolved to this day.
Shit.
It is a cold case.
Wow.
And they tried to use the whole thing. Well, she's a battered wife. She's a battered spouse. She's trying to get back at her husband. So they couldn't just use her testimony to nail him for the murder. And there was not enough evidence to prove that he had done anything. And because there is really no body, they couldn't do anything. Colleen Stan was thrown into the spotlight when police came for her testimony. So at first, Janice didn't want to get Colleen involved in this. She was just saying, hey, you guys have my testimony. Is that all that counts? And they're like, no. So she's like, can you guys just use my testimony? And they're like, no. If you're trying to claim kidnapping and abuse on another person, that person has to come forward. The most we can do is claim abuse on what he's done to you. So that's when she threw Colleen's name out, and that's when the police confronted Colleen. And she had to retell her story in front of millions of people in horrifying detail. It was believed that even the FBI had a hard time believing some of the acts that were done to her. And if it wasn't for, like, the photograph evidence, Janice, like, basically backing up and a bunch of the other evidence that was there, they would have thought that she was over-exaggerating stuff. So both Janice and Colleen took the stand at the trial. They delivered emotional testimonies that recounted the abuse they had suffered at the hands of the accuser. Colleen's defense team desperately seized upon the fact of Colleen's seamlessly willing compliance with all of the Hooker's demands. So this is where the defense team came in. They're like, if this was a real kidnapping, and if this was real imprisonment for 7 years, why did you stay for 7 years? You had all these chances to get away. He took you to go see your family. Why didn't you try and run away? And that was their main reason the defense attorney had. They're all like, "This, can you really consider this a rape? Or can you really consider this a kidnapping?" So his lawyers claim that although Hooker had indeed kidnapped Colleen, that he admitted to, the sex acts were all consensual and should not have been considered criminal. So everything that he did to her.
So yeah, let's put a fucking knife against your throat and say I'm going to fuck you and see how you react.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I fucking hate lawyers.
Yeah, so they tried to turn it around saying that, well, if she really was against this, why wasn't she struggling? Why wasn't she fighting? And they're like, well, you have to think she had two people on her. And they had complete control over her, and they tried to use the whole. So Cameron Hooker also took the stand to defend himself and claimed that his actions had been
fucking creep,
significantly less violent than the women were depicting. And he tried to say that, well, after all, he's like, I do admit to have kidnapping her. But after a while, Colleen was doing this all very willingly. She had wanted this. This is what she wanted. And, you know, and so on and so forth. He's like, why else would she stay with me for 7 days after already being with her parents? Why wasn't she just, when she was on her jog, instead of jogging home, jog to the authorities? And the defense team used this a lot. And actually, the jury really thought this through because it took them over 3 days. 3 days to finally come with a conviction. And even when they did the conviction, they were charging him with eight different counts. He was only charged for seven. So he had 8 different counts of like kidnapping, rape, assault with a weapon, and so on and so forth. Out of 8 of those charges, he was only
charged with 7.
7, yeah.
So what was the one that he wasn't charged with?
I didn't write it down. I don't know what it was.
So like false imprisonment or something?
I don't know. I'm not going to say which one it was. But it took the jury 3 days, almost 4 days, to finally be like, okay, he is guilty of something. The fact that they had to think about it makes you wonder, like,
really controversial.
What did the jury have to go through to have to really think about, could this, okay, we understand she was kidnapped. He admits to that. He admits he's guilty of kidnapping her. But you also have to take into perspective, why didn't she try and run away?
It kind of makes you wonder if it just came down to a fucking coin flip at that point. It's just like, is right? he or isn't he? Heads he is, tails he's not. And just like...
Because it took him over 3 days, almost 4 days, to finally be like, yeah, you're guilty of 7 of the 8 charges. And the defense attorney really played it out of, again, using all those things. Like, look at the pictures. Like, they had tons of pictures of the 3 of them and them all smiling and interacting like the one with you each showed other.
Me
yeah.
At her parents.
And yeah. So they're just like, look at this evidence. Does this look like someone who's in distress? Does this look like someone who's been kidnapped and holding against their will for 7 fucking years? They played it very well. But ultimately, the verdict was that he came back guilty 7 of the 8 counts, including kidnapping and rape. He received a series of sentences that amounted to the total of 104 years in prison with possibility of parole after, I think it was like 60 or 50 years served.
140 years?
104.
104 days.
Yes. After the verdict was announced, the judge made a remarkable personal
days
statement.
Days or years?
Years. So usually most of the time when judges, they read their verdict, they kind of try to like, okay, this is the verdict, we're done. This judge decides to throw in his own comments. So this kind of...
Are they allowed to do that?
Technically, really. No. So the judge made a remark, a remarkable personal statement. He personally thanked the jury for their work and their decision on convicting him and declared Cameron Hooker the most dangerous, in quotations, the most dangerous psychopath I have ever dealt with. He will be a danger to women as long as he is alive. Because he went personal, because he said this, Cameron Hooker tried to appeal his verdict, citing the judge's opinionative comments, among other issues that apparently the judge made it biased against him. And it was supposedly said that the judge threw out evidence the defense attorney was trying to use to claim that Colleen was there willingly. So he felt that this should be retried because there was bias in there and there's not supposed to be. His appeal was denied. Cameron Hooker had been imprisoned since 1985.
Still in prison?
He's still alive.
Ooh!
Yes. During court proceedings.
In California?
Yes.
Of course, because our lovely.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my political view to myself. Let that
sink in.
Emily needs a mini break.
Our taxpayers' mini dollars break.
We're almost.
I will give you a point for that because I am mini raging right now.
She's practically rage quitting right now. Yes, Team Murder gets a point.
2 second break to go potty.
So yeah, he tried to appeal. Blah 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 blah. So yeah, he's been in prison since 1985. During court proceedings, it was suggested that Colleen may have suffered from Stockholm syndrome, because of the intense stress they all went through. It was thought Colleen started to feel empathy with Hooker when he showed her the smallest amount of affection after torturing her.
You know what? I wish our government system would, like, revamp the way we do things. Like, if you fucking tortured and put this
you should
person
go through the
in
exact
a box,
same thing.
You should... Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If they shocked you, hung you by your fucking nipples and wrists, like, you should... Every freaking same thing you should go through.
10 times fold?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they believe that they got in hell. So, if you believe in the whole heaven and hell thing, you get whatever you've done negative, like, times 10 to you when you go to hell. When you go to hell, that's what they believe. They're like, God will judge you. And I'm all like, I don't need that now. It needs to happen now. He needs to be judged now. So,
karma.
It was thought Colleen started to feel empathy with Hooker when he showed her the smallest amount of affection. Colleen disagrees. To this day, she completely refutes that she had Stockholm syndrome. But many psychologists have looked at it and been like, this is kind of...
She's probably just, like, over it. She's probably like, this was a chapter in my life I don't want to fucking remember. Like, just...
I mean, a lot of psychologists look at it and they're just like, classic sign, Stockholm syndrome. But again, like you said, this is something they don't want to constantly bring up and constantly nag her about. So saying it was all, she said it was all an act to get him to not harm her or her family. It was a it was the happy memories that got her through such traumatic times. So in 2015, Cameron Hooker, aged 61, applied for parole under the California Elderly Parole Program, but was denied yet again and continues to serve his century-long sentence. He is up for parole again in 2030. So I don't know the math on that. I don't know how old he'll be in 2030.
How old was he when they put him in jail?
Well, in 2015, he was 61.
2050?
15.
Sorry, 2015, he was 61.
Yes.
So in 2030 is his next appeal.
Yeah.
So 61 plus 15, that's 70.
15 years.
Yeah, 70, 71, 70, 76.
He would be 76 years old before when he can apply for his next parole. So, and that's in 2030, and that's if he gets granted. And mind you, he's been in jail since
85.
So in 85, he was like 30 something. In 85, take away 2015. That was 30 years ago. He's already 6, and he has to serve 104 years. He's not going to outlive that. If he somehow lives his outlives his 104 years, okay, maybe he deserves to like rot in a like a senior home or something.
He doesn't deserve fucking anything, in my opinion.
So where are they now? Do you guys want to know?
Well, I know the dude is in jail. Where is Janice?
Obviously. So Janice, as for Janice Hooker, she was not charged with any crime whatsoever.
Even though she was the one who suggested it.
And she was part of it. While Cameron was tried and convicted of several counts of kidnapping and sexual assaults, the courts granted Janice full immunity and witness protection for her and her two daughters in agreement to testify against him.
Why would the court even consider her as a fit parent for two children when she's suggesting her husband go and get a sex slave?
She was, they did psychologists, or they did a lot of testing and work on her, and a lot of psychologists determined that she was a battered spouse, and that she went through a lot of also trauma herself. And at an early age, at 15, she was exposed to this when she shouldn't have, and that she was morphed into this when it shouldn't have happened.
That's true, I guess, yeah.
So, they kind of had major sympathy for her. She was just a wife trying to please her husband. She admitted, and even Cameron admitted, that she did not enjoy doing this. And the reason why she wanted a slave was because she felt her life was going to be on the line or whatever. So, they were able to pull the card of her being the battered wife. And as long as she gave her full and complete cooperation and testimony, she would be taken care of. Prosecutors believe that Cameron mentally and physically abused Janice, which he did, making it nearly impossible for her to have defied her husband and to stop the horrors that made Stan Colleen Stan endure. She still lives in California under a different name, and supposedly is nowhere to be found. It was last reported that Janice changed her last name to her maiden name, which was Lashley. Lashley, yeah, and became a registered social worker and works at a mental hospital.
Wow.
That's what the last reports of her were.
What about,
As for Colleen Stan, she is a chronic sufferer of back pain and shoulder pain as a result of her confinement. She returned home, where she went through extensive therapy, eventually marrying and having a daughter of her own. She joined an organization to helping abused women and earned a degree in accounting. She still lives in California. Even though she tried to live a normal life, it is said misery followed her. Her marriage failed, and her daughter got into major problems with drugs and the police. Her daughter is currently serving time in jail, and she is now taking care of her daughter's child, so she's a grandmother. Colleen Stan, she also changed her name, so she doesn't go underneath Colleen Stan anymore. I don't know what her new name is. Wasn't able to find it. But she still does interviews, but she only goes referred to as Colleen Stan in those interviews. She doesn't reveal her new name. They actually did like a movie called Girl in the Box that was based off of her. There's a lot of literature based off of her stuff, and there was a lot of like Criminal Minds has done a couple stuff based on her story and whatnot. So,
but I mean, at least she survived unlike that other one.
So yeah, she's now a grandmother. She still lives under a new name. She's still in California. She recently revealed that she was able to cope with her terrifying 7-year ordeal by always believing in God and removing herself from the real situation and going somewhere else in her mind that brought her back to her happy place.
Do you think she's got like a coffin-sized bed?
Oh, my God.
You think her happy place is back in that box?
Do you think she finds comfort in closed
spaces? Or maybe she's claustrophobic now?
Do you think she's claustrophobic now?
I have no idea.
She's
very active with doing interviews. Maybe if I really try, I can try and get an interview with her.
Except leave out what we just said. Because
no, these are legitimate questions I would want to ask.
No, like, yeah, right? I could imagine like
how
asking
has this
her.
Affected you as a grown-up? Have you, like...
All jokes aside, it's like...
No, these are some serious questions to ask her. How is she handling this after so many years?
And with the thought of him trying to get parole again in 15 years.
Yeah, and...
Or less than that. What?
In less than 15 years.
11 years now.
Yeah, so it's like, how does this all affect you? The fact that also Janice got off the hook... off the hook, get it?
Oh my God.
She got off the hook for this.
She got off that hooker real quick.
And she's basically
too
living...
late for these jokes right now. My face can't even comprehend.
Like... She's basically living scot-free and everything like that. In 2009, Colleen Stan published a book called The Simple Gifts of Life, where she gave a detailed account of her ordeal and her life lessons. So, yeah, and she does interviews quite regularly. And, little tidbit, she does not keep in contact with Janice Hooker. It was reported for a while that she was still talking to Janice Hooker and her buddy buddies. And she... People were even say that she was sending mail to Cameron, but she come back and said, no, that's not true. She's like, I want nothing to do with him at all. She's like, the fact that Janice is free, she's like, I'm glad she's no longer being tortured herself. She's like, but she did participate in this stuff. That's how it is. And that is the story of Colleen Stan, girl in the box.
I kind
of
like...
So yeah, that's the story. And I don't think it was as bad as my other one.
It's not so much bad as bad as your
own. It's a different category for sure.
Yeah, but I think the thing that's really frustrating is the fact that she had so many opportunities to run. Like,
it just leaves you with fear, so many questions.
With all that fear aside, I mean, like, some part of her had to have been like, this is my opportunity, I should fucking take it. But she just, like...
It just honestly, when I kept writing the story over and over again, and I would read it on different websites, different articles, different everything, and I watched documentaries on it, I just kept thinking, I'm just like, how did she not, like...
Want to?
Get away from this. How, like... I don't know.
Animals get treated better than the way she got treated in that 7 years. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's just a lot of unanswered questions. It was just... It's a twisted story. And it leaves people wondering why... If you guys have any questions, or
have to look at the time it was all happening.
I guess that does
people
make
were
sense
hitchhiking
too.
And thinking it was safe.
Hitchhiking was normal. I mean, come on, Ted Bundy was around almost
exactly,
the same time.
Exactly, that's
too.
What I'm saying. Like, so, and then it was California, and they're like, oh, everything.
California dreaming.
Peaceful.
Yeah. California dreaming.
But yeah, so that was my story. Give me your guys' feedback. What you guys think of the story about Colleen Stan? The girl in the box.
It was definitely interesting.
Different.
But then it, like, I don't know, you took me through, like, an emotional roller coaster today, because I was, like, kink shaming. Right? And then we got to,
the actual, like...
Kinks.
abuse that not just one,
kinks
but both of
taken too
maybe.
Far.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely did not have safe words and was not consensual.
Yeah.
So...
Safe words are...
Probably, at least I think we should put some type of warning.
No,
I always want to put warnings on Sam's episode.
Viewer discretion advised. Some topics that we talk about.
Listen, not viewers, listeners discretion.
Right.
Well, it's not like it's not like we're like
some
broadcasting.
Some things that we may say may not be suitable for people of certain ages.
Yeah.
How does that go again? Or like, what is that warning?
Viewer discretion is advised. Please. Yeah, whatever.
Right. There's a warning out there, something like that. I usually put it in the show notes of like, hey, discretion advised type of thing. But yeah, I'll put this out there.
Sometimes it's like depictions of graphic nudity or harsh
language.
But
it's not depiction because
I know,
we're not
because,
showing anything.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to get at.
But still, we talk about like certain body parts that like if a young audience member that doesn't know what our like podcast is about, they're like, oh, tea time.
Tea time. It is horror.
Mature audience. Yeah. Only I know, but I'm still, like,
you know, you know.
So let us know what you think about this episode. Give us feedback.
Thanks for putting up with us, guys.
Right. And thanks happy
for listening to our tangents and me interrupting Sam every other minute.
That's okay. So yeah, happy 10th episode to everyone.
Happy 10. Double digits.
10 to 100 more episodes to come. Keep those viewer listening, those viewers going up. The moment we get to 500, we can set up a live.
My face is not happy to see you talking about this.
We could try to set up a live feed.
And then we also have some merch coming out. We just received some merch in the mail. I'm super excited. And I have an announcement for that in our next video, our next audio. Episode. So, yeah, I have a really cool announcement that's going to be coming in our next episode. And it regards merch. Hope you guys look forward to that. Please follow us on all our social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and on Patreon. Please become a Patreon supporter to help us continue with what we're doing. Also on Patreon, you get to get our exclusive blooper episodes or director cut episodes. It's not edited. You get the full raw. You hear us through everything.
3 hours of fucking nonsense. God.
Yeah, you only get the edited part that is usually down to an hour and a half. Some of our stuff can last for like 2 to 3 hours. So you get to listen to the uncut versions of that. Yeah, so follow us on our Patreon, subscribe to us, like us on iTunes, give us a good rating so that way we can go higher.
Or give us a shitty rating. I don't care. Just fucking rate us.
Give us a rate. Give us a follow. Spread us out to the other people. Spread us out well.
Here she goes with the spreading out again.
There I am with the spreading again.
Like butter over a piece of toast.
Fuck, I love butter.
Butter and toast.
Butter.
Butter.
So, anyways, yeah, thank you guys for putting up with us. Another episode down, and I look forward to our next one. And also stay tuned. We also have our listeners video coming up. Please send that in as soon as possible. I'm sorry about our first listener episode. It's coming out shortly. It's taking me forever to edit it, but it will be out. And our second listeners video will be coming out on the 2nd. It's a special, and we have the 2nd episode that will be coming shortly once you guys send us some more stories. So you can catch us, either you can DM us on any of our social media, or you can send us an email at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing you guys, as everyone else here does too, right?
Till next time.
Till next time, Space Cowboys.
Hey, it's my line.
Till next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.